stand now and join me or listen to the gospel lesson. It is from Matthew this morning, chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good would it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Thank you very much.
Wow, choir, was that ever spectacular?
It really was. Thank you, Terry, and thank you, choir, and thank you, Lynn, and thank you, everybody who has made this a great choir season. This is their last Sunday singing. They will be taking a break until the 17th of August, and a well-deserved one at that. And speaking of somebody taking a break and on sabbatical, hi, Barbara. We love you. So thank you for your gift of music. It's rewarded us and blessed us all during the year, and we appreciate it so very, very much. Let's pray together. Oh God, what a beautiful day, wonderful day to be alive, to be here, to be serving you, and to be preparing ourselves to welcome a class, a confirmation class of wonderful young men and women who are making a commitment to you. This is a great day. We appreciate it, and we appreciate the opportunity to celebrate with them. This is their day in the sun. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I was listening to my daughter and my nephew and some others talk about proms. I know some of you have been through that, the prom expenses for their kids. And I did a little research after hearing what it was costing for some parents to pay for the proms. Now, you know, when I went to the prom, which was Joe? I did. I went with Sandy to the prom. I went with Sandy to the prom, and in those days I wore a black pair of trousers and one of those sparkling coats that sort of glowed in the dark. And it was just a great occasion, but we didn't pay too much for that, to rent it. But I noticed here some of the figures that I've found in researching. Prom dress, $250. Well, not everybody pays that much, but there are some who do. Rented tuxedo with shoes, $150. That's because some of our guys go without shoes. We have to keep that in mind. Stretch limousine for 18, $250 an hour with a four-hour minimum. Man, that can be cool. Can't you just all go in the back of a pickup? And then there's flowers. I listed all these. There's flowers and jewelry and the manicure and the pedicure. Now, I'm just talking about the boys. When do we get to the women? Oh, flowers and jewelry and manicures and pedicures and the tanning salon and the beautician and the professional photographers and the pre-prom dinner and the post-prom party and the actual tickets for the prom. Sarah! And it was all of that. It's cost a fortune. Now, we were blessed with our son, Rob. He graduated from Overland High School up in Aurora. And he said, "Dad, if you don't mind," actually he said, "Mom, if you don't mind, instead of going out after the prom and everything, we'd like to just all come home." What's that again? "We'd just like to all come home." And so about 25 or 30 kids rampaged the house from about 10:30 or 11 o'clock until 6 o'clock the next morning. But we made them breakfast, and they watched movies and listened to music and played some. And, boy, that cut down the expense. And Carolyn cooked. And did she cook, let me tell you. And I was in meditation during the time while she was cooking. So parents, if you still have kids in middle school or grade school, you still have time to prepare yourselves, because I gather from looking at the statistics, somewhere around $1,000 a person or $2,000 a couple to go to a prom if you fulfill all of their wishes. I read, and I quote here, teenagers spend billions of dollars each year on everything from hamburgers and DVD rentals to hairdressers and Humvee rentals for prom weekend. And now with graduation just around the corner, college not too far away, parents come to the stark realization that the fun has just begun. If you think prom costs a lot, oh, wow, college tuition. I remember those days at Penn State when I thought I wasn't sure I was going to be able to pay the tuition. It was like $75 a term. And they still had dirt roads going to State College, Pennsylvania at that time. And I had the GI Bill, thanks be to God for that. But golly, the stark realization that the fun has just begun. And the economy with it the way it is today, it reminds us even more of how much things cost nowadays. And we struggle, some struggle very deeply, to make sure their kids can even go to college. And college kids are becoming more and more aware of it themselves as they prepare to go to work, to help provide the way for them to go to school. By the way, that is not a bad thing, that they learn that responsibility. Somewhere along the way, however, we've gotten things a little bit mixed up, and we forget sometimes about responsibilities and what it means to be a part of life and what it means to be a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. And the bottom line is this: there is no free ride for any of us, regardless of who we are and regardless of what station we are in life. There's no free ride. Everything's going to cost. And the inflation means that it's going to cost even more. And college costs even more. And oh, by the way, the Christian life costs something as well. And that's what we're really here to talk about today to the confirmands who come, to let them know how important this journey is in their lives, that the Christian life is not a free ride. It requires responsibility and accepting the challenge that's going to be uniquely yours as the young men and women who will lead the church into the future. It's hard to remember all of this, however, because, you know, sometimes we forget when we gather in the ancient fields of old with shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night. And remember, suddenly God's angel stood among them and the glory blazed around them and all the shepherds were terrified. And the angel said to them, remember in the story, don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great joyful event that is meant for everybody worldwide. A Savior is born to you in David's town. A Savior who is the Messiah and the Master. This is what you're looking for, a baby wrapped in a blanket and lying in a manger. And the angelic choir, much like the Tri-Lakes choir, but not quite as good. The angelic choir sang God's praises. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace to all men and women on earth who please God. And Mary gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. You see, it really wasn't until we heard a mallet driving nails through a hand on a cross beam of wood that the realization came home to us that everything in this world is not free. And a price was paid for our freedom and for our life, and a baby, now a man, would be shamed before the world for our stupidity and our recklessness and our sin. Jesus, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And Jesus said to a dying criminal, and to you and me, yes.
What's that again?
Yes. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, and now I'll see. Grace, a blessing, unmerited. It's free like a prom. It's free. It's there for you to have.
Go enjoy yourselves because the price has already been paid.
Somebody else paid the bill.
But then when you hear Jesus talk, this is where the rubber hits the road. We struggle with this just a little bit. We hear Jesus talking to his disciples, and he said, for those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it.
A reminder that it always takes commitment to realize dreams and to touch the world. If anyone want to be my followers, let them deny themselves and take up the cross and follow me.
What do we expect of young men and women today as they make a commitment to Jesus Christ? It's the same thing that is expected of any of us who ever make a commitment to Christ in this church or any church. You pick up the cross and you follow. And if you can't do that, you shouldn't make the commitment. That's how tough it is. The price has been paid, but the challenge has been given. The price was paid when Jesus died upon the cross, but the challenge was given when he said, those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it.
Confirmation church membership is serious business. It has some cost related to it. It means denying yourself, taking a risk. I just jotted these down.
Stepping into the unknown, heavy crosses, rethinking church, serving as leaders in the community, forgetting yourself for somebody else without hesitation. That's what it means to be a Christian.
Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also, said Jesus. Some years ago, I'd like to just share just a little story here. Some years ago, at the Special Olympics that were held in Seattle, 9 contestants came forward for the 100-yard dash. These were either physically or mentally challenged children who came forward for this great experience, the 100-yard dash. It would be a time to remember.
And they were all eager. They got up to the starting line. They just couldn't wait to run the race. And the gun went off, and they started out from that starting line, not exactly in a dash like we would expect runners to do, but they started off nevertheless, except one little boy, when moving out from the starting line, tripped and fell. And he landed on his face, and he began to weep. The 8 were down from the starting line. They stopped and turned around. They all came back to the starting line. And one little challenged girl knelt down beside him and gave him a kiss and said, this will make it all better. How many times has that worked for us? And then what did they do? They helped him up, and they all joined arm in arm and went to the finish line. For 10 solid minutes, the stadium was in an uproar. People stood up and applauded and yelled. Why? Because they forgot themselves for somebody else. That's what we're to do. That's what you're to do, to forget yourself for somebody else. That's what we're called to do as the body of Christ. And when somebody falls, we all stop and go pick them up. We can't make it by ourselves. It's only together that we can make it in the future. I love what one author said, though, and it's really beautiful words. To Jesus, being grown up apparently means denying yourself, taking up the cross, following him. Being grown up means spending your life in service to others, but it also means being the person God created you. How God created you. And I think about that and I say, wow, is that ever cool? In other words, the author says, go ahead and have fun, be goofy, creative, stylish, interesting, loving, and awesome, because God wants strange and different people who accept the responsibility to go out and touch the world with his goodness and his grace. Every one of these confirmands is different, just as every one of you is different. And each one of them has an awesome way of touching the lives of somebody else because of Jesus Christ. John Henry Jewett told the story of a small village where an elderly woman died. She died penniless, uneducated, unsophisticated. But during her time of life, she lived her life in selfless service to others, and she made a tremendous impact on them for Christ. And on her tombstone, they chiseled some very simple words. She did what she couldn't. That's all was written on the tombstone. She did what she couldn't. Why? Because she accepted the strength and the power and the goodness of Jesus Christ to help her accomplish what she couldn't accomplish by herself. Okay, I'm done. Except a little song. Way back when, a very, very dear friend of mine, his name was Ray Vaughn. I've talked about him before. He was a mentor and a friend, outstanding tenor, singer, pianist. He was an entertainer. Oh, no, wait a minute. He was trained to be a dentist, but he never practiced dentistry. Yeah, Dr. Ray Vaughn never practiced dentistry because he was so good at music, played the piano like it was going out of style, like somebody else who's here in the church with us, sang with a beautiful, beautiful tenor voice and sang in nightclubs on radio and television throughout his career. But he wanted to do one thing else before he died. He wanted to be a Methodist minister. Of all strange things, he wanted to be a Methodist minister. He almost got his wish. He had diabetes. Let me tell you that he lived in Decatur, Georgia, right outside of Atlanta. Lovely old home. The boxes were all packed. He was ready to go to his first assignment, a little country church in Georgia, and he was so proud that he was going to get to be a pastor. And he died before the boxes were ever picked up, before he ever went to his first church. But in his music and in his singing, in his playing, he touched the lives of people perhaps more than any kind of sermon he could ever have preached. And he left some words, and I have them here, because it speaks to you guys right over here very, very carefully. It speaks to all of you who are gathered here for confirmation. And I guess I remember these words, not simply because he wrote them, but because of the message it relays. Some people can learn from sermons they hear, and some read their scriptures through. But to most here below, all the Bible they know is the gospel. According to you, all your life is a book on which people look. Each day is a page that they turn. Is Jesus revealed or is he concealed? What is the lesson that they learn? So be careful, my friend, of the things that you say, and be kind in the deeds you do. For to most here below, all the Bible they know is the gospel according to you. And you and you and all of us together. Amen.